your Bibles and be ready to turn and follow along. And I just want to say, as somebody who's been around Greensboro, Central North Carolina, the Mid-Atlantic region in ministry for a lot of years, I've heard the name Adrian Harris so many times. And when I first got to meet Adrian Harris just a few weeks ago, he preached here and did an amazing job. I know the reputation that precedes this dear brother, faithful, influential, a great soul winner, built great churches, a missionary, a church planter, an evangelist. And Brother Adrian, I just want to say what an honor it is to be here tonight. I can't wait to hear you preach. And Good Shepherd Church loves you. You've got a home here, and you're just part of this family because every life here has been touched by you, and you've touched the world for Jesus. And what an honor to have you here tonight. Folks, I want you at home by your computer, and everybody here tonight, let's give a big welcome to our preacher tonight, Adrian Harris. Come, brother.
How's that? All right. I'm going to stand for as long as I can. I like to have this chair here just in case I need to sit down. I want to thank all of you for being here tonight. And I want to thank all of you that are online seeing this on Facebook. I pray that the message tonight will encourage you, will lift you up. It's not an easy message. I hope I don't get cut off from Facebook by some of the things that I have to say, but I say everything that I say in a spirit of love and grace and mercy and kindness. But sometimes we just have to confront the world with the truth of God's word, and sometimes it penetrates all of us and convicts us of our sin. So I'm grateful tonight for the opportunity of being here. I want you to take your Bibles tonight, please, and let's look in Revelation chapter 13. And I just want to talk to you tonight. As far as preaching, I may get to preach a little bit, but I'm going to do more teaching than I am preaching. I love teaching as well. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, I would rather teach than preach. I don't know why. Teaching is easier for me. Preaching is wonderful, and I love it, and I get excited about it. But God has to prepare me in such a way when I preach that I am mentally, physically, and emotionally drained by the time I get ready to preach, because God's put me through the ringer to make sure I get my heart ready. And tonight I just want to talk to you about, is the pandemic that we have found ourselves in a prelude to the rapture of the church? Now, for those of you that are watching here tonight, most of you maybe know the Lord as your personal Savior. And you know the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that one day Christ is going to come back for His church. I was talking to Brother Alex earlier. He and I both are what we call pre-tribulational, premillennial theologians. We believe that the church is going to be raptured before the tribulation. Now, I've got some friends of mine, some pastor friends of mine, that are all millennial. I don't know how they get there, but they are. I've got a couple of friends, pastor friends, that are mid-tribs. I told them, I said, well, I'll just see you later. I'm going up first, and I'll just see you in the middle of all that mess down there. But I still love these guys, and just because we differ in that doesn't mean that that we're wrong and not going to heaven, because we've got to love each other in the Lord. But I just want to talk to you, and my heart's just so full tonight because of the things that I've studied and the things that I've been seeing. Since I've been into this quarantine, I have been doing more studying and more praying just to keep my sanity. I don't know about y'all, but boy, mentally it really works on you. So what I want to do tonight, I want to mention three things. I want to mention about this mark of the beast mentioned in Revelation chapter 13. And three things that I want to focus in on tonight are this. I will share, first of all, his personhood. That is the personhood of the Antichrist and of the false prophet. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. The second thing that I'm going to talk about tonight is his power. That is the power of the false prophet and the Antichrist. Chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. And the third thing that I'm going to mention tonight is Satan's plan, or the Antichrist and the false prophet's plan, chapter 13, verses 15 through 18. So let's talk a little bit about this pandemic that we found ourselves in. I've heard all kinds of conspiracy theories, and to be honest with you, some of them I don't think are conspiracy theories as much as maybe they are fact. But it's up to us to pray and decipher these things by testing the Spirit and trying the Spirit and seeing if the Spirit of God is really in some of these things that we're hearing. Personally, I believe that this virus was released in China. When I first heard about it, I did some research on Google, and I went and Googled everything. I heard a man talking about that the virus was created at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And there's a professor there who talked about that, and I went and researched that, and I thought, man, that's weird. So I went in another direction. Now they're talking about it came out of maybe the University of Texas. I really don't know, and it doesn't really matter. However, I know this. I believe that it was used as a biological weapon to control us and to see how that we as a society and as a world would react to governmental control upon us. And I think it's a prelude of the rapture and the tribulation. I'm not saying that Jesus is coming next week. If you find a preacher that says Jesus is coming at a certain time, don't believe them. The Bible says no man knoweth the day or the hour except the Father himself. And the Bible says that Jesus has guarded that secret as well. He doesn't even know. When the Father says to Jesus, Jesus, go get my children, Jesus will come back. So what I want to do tonight, I want to talk about these three things in relationship to this pandemic that we've experienced. First thing I want to talk about is the personhood of the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast. And you'll find this in chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. It says, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like that of the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. We're going to talk about this in a moment. Many Bible scholars believe that this Antichrist will somehow experience a fatal wound to his head, either by gunshot or sword or a knife or something of that nature, and that he will miraculously recover. The reason why he does this, he is trying to mimic the death of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus. You see, the only thing that Satan can do is try to imitate what Jesus has already done. And he tries to discredit the things of God. And so he experiences this mortal wound to his head. And I don't believe that he actually dies, but I believe maybe it's a very serious wound, but he recovers. And it will give the impression to the world that this Antichrist is the Messiah, that he is God because of the power of his recovery. And so they worshiped the dragon who gave the authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. How long is 42 months? How long? 3.5 years. And that means this. that he comes in on the scene in such a way that he develops relationships with governments and with people. I read an article the other day. Now, whether it's true or not, I can't verify it. I can't fact check everything that I read. But I read that one of the lead rabbis over in Israel, and this is on the computer when I found it, and it was a Jewish magazine, that one of the lead rabbis in Israel has said, "I have already met the Messiah." And that blew me away when I heard that. Huh? No, the Messiah. Well, and what he meant by that was, I believe that he thinks that this guy is the Messiah. And not only did he say that he has met the Messiah, but many of the Orthodox rabbis in Israel has actually met the Messiah. Of course, we know that they're not talking about the true Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we read on here, we find that he rules and reigns and has authority for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those that dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, what we see here in verse 11, and we'll see this in just a moment, the personhood of this false prophet rises up because the Antichrist is already here. And remember, Satan is going to mimic everything that Jesus actually did on the earth. He is going to be the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. He's going to be a triune, satanic, demonic entity. And just like we have God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not three gods, but one God in three persons, Satan tries to counterfeit everything that God does. And so what happens is this Antichrist comes in on the scene, and now this false prophet comes in, and his entire goal, his entire purpose is to give authority and power from the Antichrist to the false prophet so that the false prophet can get people on the earth to worship him. You say, well, now what does this have to do with the pandemic? I'm so glad you asked. I believe with all of my heart what we have seen, and I'm not minimizing the pandemic. I'm not minimizing the coronavirus. I know a lot of people have died from it. I'll be honest with you, and I'm just being sincere. I don't believe as many people have died from it as what they're listing. I believe there are other underlying issues such as high blood pressure, such as heart disease, such as people who smoke and things of that nature. And I read the other day that a man in Florida was eaten by a great white shark. You know what they put on his death certificate? He died of coronavirus. Y'all didn't get that, did you? You got it? Okay. Supposed to laugh. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm just saying, I don't believe it's been as widespread as you thought. And I don't know whether China released it purposely or unintentionally. I don't know. I do know, and for those of you that are watching, you can go back and check this out. The United States of America gave that lab $3.7 million to get it up to snuff. Whether that money was actually used to get it up to par, I don't know. But how in the world could a free country like the United States of America give a communistic country that kind of money when they can create biological warfare and wipe out an entire nation? We have got to be the most ignorant, foolish people you have ever seen in your life. Now I don't want to get political here tonight. I don't get involved in politics a lot. I do privately if somebody asks me. And I don't use a pulpit as a bully pulpit to talk about different parties. And what I'm about to say has nothing to do with being Democrat or Republican, okay? But you know what? I've been sitting at home. I go out maybe to get something to eat, get some gas, get some groceries and things like that. But I've been trying to be a good citizen and stay home. I've been wearing my mask out, wearing my gloves, and doing all these things because my governor tells me to do that. And other people have been saying to do that too. But just this last week, and this got nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. If I find a Republican doing the same thing, I'll say the same to him. But our governor told us to stay home, and yet he was caught at a fundraiser in Florida for his campaign when you were not supposed to go out and do anything unless it was essential. Guess what? His campaign is not essential to the business of North Carolina. Amen? And he was caught by a reporter, and he looked like a deer in headlights that he had been caught, and he had changed his travel logs so that the press could not see it. Now, I don't know about you, but I got a problem with somebody telling me to do something and that they're supposed to do it, and they expect me to do it, and if I don't do it, I get arrested, and if they do it, it's okay. That's the problem in our society today. There's two different classes of people. Elitists, and now let me just say this, elitists believe that they are in control, and I've got a YouTube here I'm going to show you in just a little bit. I'll find it. There is a strategy in the United States, and it's been going on for years. In my studies, I have discovered that it goes way back. The only presidents that were not part of globalism, and that means one world government, was Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump. I'm not here to promote Donald Trump tonight because I don't use the pulpit to endorse candidates or anything like that, but this thing's been in the works for a long time. Republican presidents have done the same thing. That's why I've been so disappointed in the stance some of them have taken in the past. And the whole idea is this, that we are so simple-minded, those of us, the common people. I don't know about you, but I'm just a common man. I'm a simple man. I don't want any accolades. I don't want any press. I don't need any ink. All I want to do is glorify Jesus. And here we are. We are every ordinary day people, and we are told that we don't know how to rule our own lives, and as a result of that, they're going to take control of our lives so that they will tell us what to do because they are more intelligent than we are. Listen, friend, they're not more intelligent than we are. They are more demonically controlled than other people. That's what it really boils down to. I may get cast out of Facebook tonight. Marvin, just keep your eye open back there to see if they are monitoring me. But that's the truth. And if you don't believe me, and in just a moment I'm going to let you listen to this. I'll put the microphone up close to it. There's no way you can see it. I just want you to listen to it. I went back and looked at some YouTubes in the past of trying to find presidents that were talking about the one world government. First time I ever heard about a new world order was from President George Bush Sr. First time I ever heard about it. And when I heard that, my ears perked up that here is a conservative man talking about uniting together and making our world a one global network. And the reason why these folks want a one world global network is so that they can have absolute control over everything we do, where you can eat, where you can go to school. It's amazing. I ride by Lowe's on Battleground every day, and that place has been packed to the rafters. I know they're supposed to be 6 feet apart, but I thought to myself, now why is that okay? But you can't go to a restaurant and stay 6 feet apart and have a meal with a friend. I think it all goes back to this. Once again, the ruling elite, they think they're more intelligent than the average man or woman, and that they know better than us, the people. And they've got to take control. I just want to say to anybody out there watching, I don't know if we've got a big crowd tonight or if anybody's watching that's going to get upset at us, but here's the truth. Our founding forefathers left England to get away from that kind of tyranny. That's the reason they came to the United States of America. That's the reason they grew this great country and God blessed them to get away from that. And here we are, 200 and plus years later, going back to the same thing. Well, I can't get it to work. I apologize. But let me just clarify. Here's what it says. And as a matter of fact, you can go look it up when you get home on YouTube. There is a video of President Obama. And I'm not picking on him because he's a Democrat. But in this video, you look it up on YouTube. He makes the statement. He's speaking to a group of Bilderbergers in the European common market. And he makes this statement right off the bat that we have been working for years on building a one world government, a one world economy. And here's what he says. I can't quote it exactly. I thought I was going to let you listen to it. And I'm paraphrasing what he said, but here's the essence of what he said. Because the common man is so simple-minded. That's what he says. Because the common man is so simple-minded that they have to have people guide them and tell them what to do. And then he says, those people are going to have to give up their rights and give in to their sovereign. Now, he didn't mention who the sovereign was, but he says they'll have to give up their rights and give in to the sovereign. Now, what does that sound like to you? It kind of sounds like Revelation chapter 13, doesn't it? I thought about that when I heard him say that. I couldn't believe it because I tried to look at a lot of YouTubes and find out, and it was very difficult to find this, but check it out when you get home. The whole thing is there. But this is what really troubles me, especially among the, quote, progressives. Not only did our governor travel for non-essential travel when he tells us to stay home, but our former President Obama was caught playing golf at a Virginia country club before you're supposed to get out. And then on top of that, they caught the mayor of New York City, Mr. de Blasio. What a name, de Blasio. Walking in a park when they have a park near Gracie Mansion, and he had to have an escort there, they had to have bodyguards, and somebody confronted him and said something to him about, what are you doing out here? It's not essential that you be here. You've even got a park over near your house. And he just shooed the guy away. Now, there's three examples. I could give more. There's three examples of three politicians that feel that they are more intelligent than the average person. And they all told us to do something that they themselves were not willing to do. Do as I say, don't do as I do. Now, are we all hypocrites in some ways? Yeah, we've all told people. We've told our children sometimes, now don't do this, and we've done it ourselves. We're all hypocrites in some way, but that is blatant hypocrisy. And I said all that to say this. This false prophet will be indwelt by a demon out of the abyss. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He comes on as a harmless as a lamb, and then he speaks like a dragon. He comes on real soft and meek and mild, and then all of a sudden, when he speaks as a dragon. A dragon is not something that's supposed to be mild, is it? So he is disguising himself. He's trying to speak for the Antichrist, and his entire goal is to get the population of the earth to worship the Antichrist. I don't know if you saw this the other day, too. And this really, really disturbed me. And what time are we supposed to finish up? No, I don't want to bore everybody, but how many of you know who AOC is? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, okay? Did I get that right? She made a statement that Trump and Jesus had something in common. They both were con artists. She said that my Savior was a con artist. She said that Jesus came and he got a cult following and he claimed to be the Son of God. Mrs. Cortez, I want to emphatically say to you, he not only said he was the Son of God, he is the Son of God.
Amen.
No question about it. And one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you, Congressman, Congresswoman, will also bow before the Son of God someday. I hope and pray that you bow before him before it's too late and that you confess him as Lord and Savior of your life. We still on, Marvin? Okay. All right, so that's the first thing I want you to see. Second thing I want you to see is not only his personhood, I want you to notice the power that this false prophet has. Look in verse 12 through 14. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast, that is of the Antichrist, in his presence, and he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. In other words, they fake a resurrection by the Antichrist to make people think that he is all-powerful and almighty and the Messiah. And now this false prophet, what does he do? Verse 13, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And notice verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Man, I went back and did a lot of additional reading this week, and all the Bible scholars that I read said this: with the technology that we have today, somehow the false prophet and the Antichrist will use technology to make this image that they make for people to worship the Antichrist somehow to become animated and somehow to become to its speaking. They're already experimenting right now with what do you call them? Pardon?
Robots.
Had a mental block there. Have a lot of those lately. They are experimenting with robots that can talk and come to life, so to speak. And they believe, these Bible scholars believe, that the false prophet and the Antichrist will cause this image that people are worshiping to come to life, and it breathes. And everybody will be overwhelmed and absolutely amazed at this. Now, he is going to use this to get people to worship the first beast, which is the Antichrist. His mortal wound is healed, which is him mimicking the miracles that Jesus performed on the earth. And he uses it to deceive people during the tribulation. Now, you say, well, what's the pandemic got to do with this? It all goes back to this one thing that we've got to understand. And I know what I'm talking about in popular. And you know, sometimes when I preach a message like that, I'm sure you see it too, Alex. I have even Christians say, man, I don't like that negative stuff. And I don't preach on things like this that often. I don't know why the Lord warned me to tonight, but he did. He kept directing me back to it. And even Christians today, they don't want to hear this stuff. But it's real. Yeah. And I don't know about you, I get excited to think that Jesus might be coming back soon. Now, if you ain't excited about Jesus coming back soon, I'd be getting on my knees and doing some praying.
That's right.
Amen? Because it just lets me know this whole body, this whole body is getting worn out, and rugged and aged. And one day soon, the Lord willing, I'll be with Jesus in a glorified body. Hallelujah. To think about that just absolutely blows my mind. So that's just power. The third thing, the final thing that I want to share with you, and you say, well, man, you already got to point three. Yeah, but this point three is a long one. This point three is a long one. His plan is this. Look at verses 15 through verses 18. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, not some, all, both small and great, elitist and common folk, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, during this time after the rapture of the church and the Antichrist takes over and the false prophet gets everybody worshiping this Antichrist, everybody who's left here on the earth is going to be forced to get this mark, to be a part of this global society. And this is what they're working toward. You say, how could they ever do that? China's got 1.3 billion people. India, I think, has got 1.1 billion people. How are you going to get all these people to take a mark? I don't know, but it just tells me that we're moving in that direction, and it's becoming more intense as time goes on. It's getting more rapid. And I think that this was a test result of what's getting ready to happen in the future. I don't know, Jesus may not come back for 10 or 15 years. I hope he don't wait that long. But regardless, the stage is being set for a one world government and a one world control. And that's exactly what the Antichrist is going to do. And notice his number is 666. You know what 666 means? A man among men who's a man. And the reason they use three sixes is this. Six is the number, the biblical numerology for six is man, represents man. Seven is the number of God and of perfection. The number eight is the number of new beginnings. And so when you say 666, he is the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. I don't know, but what I think maybe the beast may end up being a computer or a robot as such. But we know that they are going to be a trinity of demonic revelation like the world has never seen before. And listen, here you are. I mean, if a person misses the rapture. Now, this is what I believe, and we can differ on this. The scripture says that after the rapture of the church, anybody who's heard the gospel to be saved and rejected it will be sent strong delusions from God so that they believe the Antichrist. My personal opinion, and this is just opinion here, this is not being dogmatic about it, that the people that have heard the gospel and they're left here after the rapture, I believe that they will automatically take the mark of the beast. But the people that have not heard the truth of Jesus's deity and his death, his burial and resurrection will have that opportunity to make that decision, commitment to Christ. And there's going to be millions and millions and millions of people in that position. And hopefully, prayerfully, somewhere along the way, they have heard this message about the Antichrist and they will say, hey, this guy is deceiving us. He's charming, but he speaks like a dragon. He's smooth, but he's slick. You're talking about Slick Willie. How about Slick Antichrist, slick false prophet. And so this is what we're seeing. Now, let's just say that this virus was created and released accidentally or on purpose. I don't know. Hopefully they'll find out. I believe that if it was released accidentally, the Chinese government got together and they came up with a strategy. Well, it's already released, so here's what we're going to do. We're not going to tell the World Health Organization, and they're not going to tell the United States, and not going to tell our president of it being transmitted from person to person. We're going to say that it came from bat soup. Ooh. And it comes from transmitted from animals to animals. And what we're going to do, we're going to shut down the city where the lab is at. Do you know that the Chinese government actually literally welded people inside their homes in that city? And those people starved to death in there? You don't hear that much about that. But I've read it. And it's true. They're not going to tell you they do that. China is involved in a lot of organ transplants and organ harvesting. And they've used many of their own prisoners in the prison camp than anybody. They test everybody for their blood type, their DNA, et cetera, et cetera. And here's somebody from the United States. They're a very wealthy person. And they need a new heart. They check and they see who's got the same DNA as this person, same blood type and everything. Well, this is a match. They don't say anything to the person. They have to take them and put them in an operating room, put them to sleep, harvest all the organs they need, get that heart, unplug it. The body goes in an incinerator. You see, any group of people that does not have God as their foundation will always trust in themselves and in government. And what they're trying to do, the world is trying to do this, and even the progressives here in the United States, they're trying to get us to stop worshiping God and rely on the government. And the government is not our God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a real God. And we can trust our God. He's never broken a promise. He don't always act and think like we think, and we don't act and think like he thinks, and I'm glad of that. But he does things in times that we don't understand. Sometimes I'll just say, Lord, could you be a little earlier this next time? Do you ever talk to the Lord like that? I do. And I know he probably says to me, hey, and I'll just smack you upside the head. I mean, I feel like he understands me so much and loves me so much, even though I'm so foolish sometimes. I think he probably sits around and laughs at us. He probably does. That Aiden, will he ever get it? Will he ever get that stubborn streak out of him, that knucklehead, that that Gomer Pyle look? I sometimes think God thinks that. But here's what they're trying to do. The United States right now has $25 trillion in debt to our treasury. I read recently that on the books, we've got over $105 trillion out there. China has $75 trillion in debt, and their economy is starting to tank and go down. But tell you what they do over there. If somebody buys a house, say, for $100,000, and then maybe they lose their job and they get behind on their payments, they don't get them to file for bankruptcy. You know what they do? Say they're behind $4,000. They just tack the $4,000 onto the $100,000 and just keep paying payments regardless. So they don't have bankruptcy over there. And they've gone into Africa. I know that they have been heavily involved in the Philippines. They've been involved in Thailand and Vietnam and these other places. And here's what they do. These poor countries, they don't have enough money for the infrastructure. So what they do, they go into these countries and they say, we will invest in your infrastructure. We will loan you this money. And they go in, they invest in that infrastructure, and then this poor country cannot pay payments on that. So you know what they do? They say, well, since you can't pay payments on that, we're going to come in and take partial control of this infrastructure that we built. It's a sneaky, deceiving way to get in and try to control these other countries. And they have invested heavily in Africa. And news report says that basically China has actually colonized most of Africa itself to get their minerals and natural resources. I want to tell you something, friend. The devil is slick. And when you got a group of people that don't know God, that don't care about God, that human life doesn't matter at all, they believe in collectivism rather than individualism. United States, when our nation was formed, we wanted to give individuals rights. And we pride ourselves many times on being a nation of supposedly all people equal, although we know that's not the case here in America or anywhere else in this fallen world. Their idea is if it's for the collective good of the whole group of people, it's okay. So if this man or this woman is getting in the way of government, let's exterminate them. And they just get rid of them. They don't think anything about it. They don't think there's anything wrong with it because we're out for the collective good of the people. It goes back to the greater good. And so here's what's going to happen. Right now, China is trying to crash the dollar as the global currency. And they're trying to make the Chinese money, however it becomes, whatever it's going to be the main one. But here's what's going to happen during this tribulation period is cash and the dollar is going to be done away with. Now, from a human standpoint, I don't know about you, but it would be so much easier if I had something embedded in my right hand that I didn't have to carry my credit card around with, I don't have to carry my driver's license with, that if I get stopped by a police officer, I'll stick my hand outside the window, he scans it, got all my information right there. It is a brilliant idea. The problem of it is this. It is brilliantly evil. Now think about this. You do away with cash. You know what you've done? You've eliminated the drug business overnight. They have more problems moving their cash than they do moving the drugs. So it'll get rid of all drug dealers. Nobody will be mugged on the street because the guy's got no money on him. Banks are not going to be robbed because there's no money in the bank. It's all done by transfer. And from a human standpoint, from a natural carnal standpoint, it is one of the most brilliant ideas in the world. But the problem is, it is demonically and satanically inspired to use that as a weapon to control the people like herds of sheep. And that's what Satan is doing in these last days. We just all, how many of you got your stimulus check? All right, who has not gotten theirs yet? Okay. How many of you said you got yours? 120 Apartment C, British Lakes Drive. Okay, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just picking at you. Where did that money come from? Out of thin air? It's just ink and paper. It is called quantitative easing. In other words, a fancy way of saying we're printing money. We ain't got nothing to back it up. Remember, we went off the gold standard years ago. Guess what? Russia has been buying gold up at an unbelievable rate. I told you earlier the United States has over $100 trillion actually on the books that we owe. China's about $75 trillion. You know how much debt Russia's got? Anybody want to take a shot at it? Russia only owes $275 billion. You say, only? That's nothing compared to the trillions that we owe. I think what's happening is Russia's lining itself up. They don't have a big debt. The Soviet Union was done away with. I think that there is a renaissance and a resurrection of the Soviet Empire through Putin. First of all, I tell you what, if I was him, I'd be praying for my parents if I had that last name. Amen. I ain't right. I never have been. How in the world even somebody with that name could rise to power? But he has. Amen. And right now, we are waiting for a vaccine. Where do you think that vaccine is coming from? I'm getting ready to wrap up here in just a few minutes. Where do you think that vaccine is coming from? No. Bill Gates gave MIT $21 million to come up with a vaccine. I read, now I don't know this is true, I read that the World Health Organization and Bill Gates together owned the patent on the coronavirus. They had to get the patent to him for him to give it to MIT so they could find the virus. I don't know about you, but I ain't taking no vaccine unless it's years down the road to prove there's nothing phony about it. Go back and look up all the vaccines. And I'm not saying Bill Gates is an evil person. He may have good intentions in his heart. I think sometimes, though, somebody can have good intentions and Satan uses them in a way that they're accomplishing evil things and they don't even realize. Go back and read the vaccines that they've given to children in Africa and some of these third world countries. A lot of these children have become crippled, polio. Hundreds and thousands of them have died because the vaccines didn't work. Just go back and check it out. I don't have time to get into all those details. So here you've got these billionaires and these elitists that tell us what to do, but they won't do what they tell us to do, trying to control us, manipulate us, dominate us. And the sad reality is that so many people out here in society, first of all, you start talking to them about this, and they'll say, don't talk to me about that negative stuff. I have some people in my family I talked to recently. Don't be talking about that negative stuff. I just do negative. There's nothing negative about it. It tells us Jesus is coming soon. That ought to excite you. But so many people, you know what? As long as they got two jobs, got a nice house, kids are doing okay, two cars, living the American dream, don't mess with that. Don't talk to them about it. They don't want to get their minds on that stuff. And as a result of it, there are millions and millions of people in the United States with their heads buried in the sand. And we are being led like sheep to the slaughter. For those of us that are Christians and are aware of what Satan's devices are, we understand what is happening and what is going on. As Christians, we have got to pray that this virus and this lockdown has drawn people closer to Jesus. I remember after 9/11, I was pastoring over at Clifton Road. I had just found out that I had colon cancer. And we were getting ready to go into our new building. And man, it was a very, very difficult time. But 9/11 happened, and man, for 3 months, the church, we had two services on Sunday morning, the church was packed out, standing room only. You know how long that lasted? 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. Back to the same old way. We are people that our memories are very short. I pray unto God that we don't let this situation go by and us not say, God, are you trying to get my attention? Are you saying something to me? Are you saying something about my spiritual life? Are you saying something about my devotional life? What areas in my life do I need to change? I heard the story one time about a young boy named Tommy. He was he had Down syndrome. When he got 16 years of age, he wanted to go to work, so his dad took him down to the local supermarket, and he got a job bagging groceries. And Tommy was really good at bagging these groceries. I mean, he had those things just right. He opened those bags up, put everything just like it's supposed to be, and people were very friendly to him and very nice to them, and he was nice to them, and oh, he just really enjoyed this. And the people that came back week after week, and they would get in the line that where Tommy was bagging the groceries, you know how we are. We're always in a hurry. Move it. You know what we do? We stand in front of a microwave and say, hurry up, hurry up. Don't we? When I'm popping popcorn sometimes, I hurry up, hurry up. They say that Microwave popcorn causes dementia. Well, no wonder my brain's messed up, because I love popcorn. But it got to be a point that the people that kept coming back week after week would get in line, and Tommy, bless his heart, he loved the people and they loved him, but the people got in a hurry and they started getting edgy about it, and they got word to the manager. Tommy's a great guy, great young man, but we're always in a hurry. So some of the cashiers got together and they thought, you know what? Let's put some notes from Tommy in the bags that he bagged for people. Not notes like, just have a nice day, but notes like, you really mean a lot to me. Thank you for brightening my day. Thank you for your beautiful smile. And every bag that Tommy bagged, they put that 3x5 card in there with that note on it. And after about 3 weeks, the manager came in one day and he noticed that one of the cash registers had a line all the way to the back of the store. And hardly anybody was at these other two cash registers. And it was all in the line where Tommy was bagging groceries. The manager said, man, I got to do something about this. Now remember, they've been giving out these little encouraging words, putting them in the bags. And the manager went back there and said, listen, there's nobody hardly over here in this line. Why don't you get in this line? They said, oh, no, we won't see Tommy. We won't see Tommy. Because you see, he made a difference in their life. He invested in their lives. And finally, they slowed down long enough to stop and realize, it doesn't matter how big of a hurry I get into. It matters that I let Tommy know I love him and I care about him. And that we minister to him and he ministers to us. Now, I've said all that to say this. I asked Kathy if she would bring this tonight. It's just a cloth that goes on a table when you're eating a fancy meal. I prefer paper towels myself. And I really appreciate Kathy bringing this. But you remember when Jesus rose from the dead and they went into his tomb? What did they find? Huh? It was neatly folded. I'm sitting here thinking, Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. Here is this cloth neatly folded. By the way, this cloth was over his face. Over his face. I don't know about you, but if God raised me from the dead, I'd be flinging that thing off. Just throwing it down. But Jesus folded it up. It was neatly folded. And then, you know, I begin to wonder why that was. And recently somebody told me the reason why. When a servant served their master, they could not sit down with the master to eat until the master was finished. If the master was sitting there eating and the master was not finished, and the way they could tell that the master was finished, when the master was finished eating, it was time for the servant to eat. You know what he'd do? He'd just ball it up and throw it on the table like that. It was time for the servants to eat. But when the master folded it up neatly and put it on the table, he slid back and said, I'll be back. I'm going to the restroom. I'm going somewhere. But I'll be back. And when Jesus, thank God, folded that cloth that covered his face, he folded it like this because he was saying, I'm not finished. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. That's that blessed hope that you and I have in the Lord Jesus. Thank God and praise his holy name tonight. Lord, I pray, if there are any people here tonight watching this on Facebook or streaming, however it's done, Lord, that they will bow their head and their heart before our great God and Savior Jesus Christ and confess Jesus as Lord and repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if you're watching tonight please don't waste this opportunity. God has got you here tonight watching this for this particular purpose and this particular reason. Jesus folded that cloth and said, I'm not finished. I'm coming back. Friend, He is coming back. Whether He comes back next week or next year or 10 years from now, I don't know. I personally believe it's sooner than we think. But it's so important that your heart be ready to know Him and to seek His forgiveness. I pray that if you're there tonight and you're not sure you're a Christian, that if you would, I want to guide you. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm not trying to get you to be mechanical. Just trying to ask you to help. Let me help guide you. If you'd like to receive Christ into your life tonight, I want you to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. I believe that You were buried in a tomb and that You rose again from the dead. I come and I repent of my sins tonight. I change my mind and I turn from my sins and I turn by faith to Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask You to come into my heart and my life and forgive me and save me. And change me and help me to grow and develop spiritually that I could become a soldier of Jesus Christ, a mighty warrior in the spiritual army of God. Lord, now I pray that if anybody prayed that prayer tonight, if they would just send a message to Marvin, even now, Marvin or Chad, saying that they prayed that prayer tonight. Accepted Christ. Now those of you that are watching, maybe you're a Christian, but you're not walking with the Lord like you need to. And we've all been there. I've been there. Thank God for His mercy. If you're not walking close to the Lord tonight, why don't you pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, I come tonight and I confess my sins to You, Lord. You said if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And tonight, Lord, I want to draw closer to You. I want to deny myself and take up my cross and follow You. Help me to live for You. Help me to witness for You. Help me to get into the Word of God. Help me to rely upon You. And Lord, change my life little by little or chunks at a time, whatever it takes, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer tonight, that you were a Christian, but you slipped from the Lord, but you want to come back tonight, send us a message on Facebook and let us know that you made that decision tonight. Oh, God will bless you. God will encourage you. I pray that you'll take this little message. I can't go into too much detail sometimes when you teach these things. But I pray that just what little bit I've shared with you tonight tells you that things are lining up for globalization, global control, manipulation, domination of satanic authority. And so, Lord, I just pray that all of us will love You and love each other. Forgive me, Lord, where I have failed You. I pray Your blessings on this church. Thank You for them allowing me to come. Thank You for Alex and his precious wife. I pray that You'll supply every need that they have, that You will use them in a mighty way here in this church to take this church to another level of growth and spirituality and depth that they've never known before. God, I pray, Lord, I was talking to Alex about Ridgecrest. I don't know what You want to do, but Lord, when I read on the computer that it was up for sale, and I remembered that Glorietta out on the West Coast area was given to another organization for $1, I thought, what a wonderful thing it would be, God, if You could give that property to Alex. For $1. Lord, he could use that as a training center to help young men and women in their walk with you. I know it's a lot, be a lot of upkeep and take a lot of money, but Lord, if he gets it for $1, I believe that people would pay to keep it going. Lord, I don't know what you got. Maybe I'm thinking foolishly. I don't know. But Lord, I just thought about it. And so I just commit it to you, Father. What a lifelong dream that would be to have an opportunity for something like that. And that way Alex wouldn't have to travel as much, but people could come to see him rather than him always going to see other people. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for these kind people allowing me to come tonight. Lord, I know sometimes I act foolishly when I preach. I'm just a common, ordinary guy. I'm sure sometimes you sit back and laugh at me and laugh at other Christians because we're so weird. Oh, Lord, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for showing us mercy when we don't deserve it. And that, of course, that's what mercy is. I love you tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.